We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Danny Parkin Show.
I like sex. Go to Europe.
French shirt. Sweetness shirt.
On 670 The Score.
We're confident that Tom Thayer will find us, or we'll find Tom Thayer in a matter of moments. Thank you for hanging out. It's the Danny Parkin Show with Matt Spiegel in. Mark Grody at 425. Dave Wannstedt at 5 o'clock. You can watch the show, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. You can see me in my Jesse Pinkman or Eminem style winter hat today.
Your knit cap? Does it look good? Your knit cap.
Yeah, I don't know what you call these things.
I like it.
Yeah, thanks, man. I got out of the shower, and Steph told me I had to go to Walgreens and get something, and it's really cold, so I put a winter hat on to go to Walgreens, and then by the time I came back, it's like, oh, man, I put a winter hat on when my hair was wet, so my hair was all messed up. So now you're just going to get the winter hat look for the rest of the day.
Yeah, that'll work. Just go with it, man. Go strong. Yeah, you're all good.
I'm fine.
It's in Bears Packers week, Danny. I find myself just thinking back to grim and horrific, problematic Bears Packers experiences, and there are a lot of them.
Oh, I mean, that's what happens when for more than a quarter century they have first ballot Hall of Fame quarterbacks and the Bears, what's the word I'm looking for? Don't?
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of them. Sometimes in big games, sometimes in meaningless games, sometimes on prime time, sometimes in the playoffs, sometimes early in the season, sometimes late in the season, sometimes here, sometimes there. That's kind of how it works.
I had forgotten some of the details of the Trestman one from 2014 coming off the bye. Just how awful it was, because that was during that bye week is when there were reports out there like the team has tuned out Mark Trestman in his second season with the Bears. They've tuned him out. And did they or not? Let's see. They come off the bye just like this week. They come off the bye, and on Sunday night, just like this week, they get the Packers at Lambeau Field, and it was 42-0 at the half. Did you remember it was that bad? I did not. 42-0 at the half. Rodgers threw 6 touchdown passes in the first half on a Sunday night at Lambeau Field against the Bears coming off a bye.
Yeah, I would have gotten that wrong on a trivia question. Now that you are speaking it into existence a little bit and like bringing it back, I remember it getting very ugly and it being like not the beginning of the end, but it was like, oh, yeah, this is going to be the end of Trestman. But I will also say this doesn't feel like Bear Packer week to me. And this might be totally selfishly motivated because of the job and because of Thanksgiving, but like just being off Thursday and Friday.
We got to squeeze in our takes on Wednesday. You got to squeeze in all the emotions into a 3-day work week and that kind of
way. Yeah, it's just, and the Bears coming off of a bye, and then I was off on Monday. Like, I just am being totally honest for you. Like, everything is more like the Packers have some problems, but they're clearly much better than the Bears. The Bears' problems are so catastrophic that I don't think they can be fixed with one bye week. I think that it's like a personnel off-season overhaul type thing. So to me, whoever the opponent is, obviously it always matters more because it's a division game, it's the Packers and the rivalry, and I love Packer Week and I love Bears-Packers. I'm not saying that, but just like this particular one, with Thanksgiving, with being off, with the Bears off the bye, with whoever the Bears' opponent is, I'd have problems and questions and concerns about the Bears. I'm not very interested or concerned in the fact that the opponent this week happens to be the Packers, because all of the problems with the Bears are about the Bears.
Well, we should get back to that later, because I think something broke in you. If I connect that to the Foles-Trubisky take from yesterday, it feels like something was shattered within you, perhaps in the Monday night game. But
okay,
we will
discuss, and you can I'll get on the couch and you can psychoanalyze me as Tom Thayer from Bears Radio and our friend and partner joins us now on the Alpamonte Nissan Hotline, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park. Happy early Thanksgiving, Tom. Thanks for the time.
Oh, anytime for Danny Boy and Matt. How you guys doing?
We're good.
We're doing well. Does it feel like Packer Week to you, given all of the weirdness that's going on with the Bears and the Thanksgiving holiday?
Yeah, it does, because Aaron Rodgers is still there and he's still great and, you know, one of the best players in all the NFL. But and then if I'm the Packers, you know, as many question marks as there are on offense, you always have to respect and fear what the defense can do to you. You know, they're one of the teams that sacked Aaron Rodgers. I think last year he got sacked 5 times in 3 different games, and one of them was the Bears game. Although they didn't win it, you know, when you have that much pressure on you as an offensive line, there's still concerns for those guys as well as up here.
You know, we were just talking about the game coming off the bye in 2014 when the Bears went up to Lambeau and we're down 42-0 at the half.
Right.
And Aaron Rodgers threw the 6 touchdowns. And, you know, but that was a team, and the reports were during that 2 weeks, and it apparently was true, that was a team that had tuned out Mark Trestman, that wasn't really buying in anymore. And that's not the case right now. I don't expect an effort level like we saw. I remember that game, Trestman said after, "We broke down in all 3 phases. I'm confounded," stuff like that. I'd be shocked if a team did that to Matt Nagy. He's a different kind of guy and has a different kind of sway.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen, because there's too much respect for the kick returner and Cordero Patterson, and those guys want to come on, go on the field and try to make a statement every opportunity they get. And then the defense, man, there's a lot of pride in these guys. You know, you have the elevation in the play of Roquan, you have the constant every play commitment of Khalil, you have what the capabilities and the possibilities of the defensive backfield are. There's a lot of things to be interested in the game Sunday night, because, you know, the conditions, maybe they'll dictate what this game is going to be about. If it's going to be a landlocked game because of the temperature and the wind and everything. So, I'm still excited about what's going to happen on Sunday night. You know, like I said, even though you have to respect the Aaron Rodgers still being there.
So I think it's going to be Trubisky, Tom, but let's play the hypothetical game. If both were healthy, who would you start at quarterback, Foles or Mitch?
Well, you know, since the beginning of the season, I've always been in Mitch's camp. And, I may be one of the few, but I also remember what it's like to be years patient with a quarterback to try to, you know, get the best out of him. So if I'm going to go up there, and what is going to pose the biggest threat for this defense, I would still go with the athleticism of Mitch. And there's you can go back and you can look at the defenses early in the season when Mitch was in the game, and his athleticism, you know, still held some accountability. It changes the way backside defenders have to play this offense. So I think at this stage of the game, the biggest threat that you need the most, and the most helpful threat that you can put in there, would probably be Mitch.
What do you know, Thayer? It's Wednesday. 3 players talked today. You could read some of the tea leaves maybe, but nobody's sure. They just practiced. Matt Nagy's supposed to greet the media any minute, frankly. But what do you know? You think it is going to be Mitch?
I think like anybody.
You can tell us.
I don't know. I haven't seen any of practice yet. The practice is going to tell the story. So, I mean, when you see, he talks about the podium after Monday's practice, they went and they had 10-10-10. So, you know, that's just, you know, that's just a couple plays and no pads in off the field. So that's not going to tell any story, because, you know, they could, any veteran they want to give off, they could, you know, have that day off. However, like you said, we're going to know today. And but to me, if I was mad, I would keep a secret. I wouldn't let Green Bay know, because even though, you know, somebody might let the cat out of the bag, there's still a way that you have to prepare differently for both of these quarterbacks. So if I was mad, I would still, you know, hold the information until I had to declare it, and that would be Sunday night. So, but I honestly, I don't know. But if I had the privy of looking each of these guys eye to eye and kind of talking to them about who is in the best mental state and who's the healthiest, that would help me determine, you know, the outcome of the battle initially, but I would still hope that they would have great weeks of practice nevertheless.
Bears legend Tom Thayer is our guest from Bears Radio. You can hear him Sunday night. What do you bristle at Bears legend? Is that,
yes.
is that what that laugh was?
Yes.
Just take it, man.
That's silly. I tell you what, when you think about the legends in Bears history, from growing up here and thinking about some of the legends of the game when the Bears weren't very good, and then the legends of the Bears that when the teams have been great. I'm a Bears fan, lucky enough to have grown up and playing for the Bears.
So, all right, fine. Average former Bear Tom Thayer is with us on the Score. Just a guy, Tom Thayer, talking football with us on the Danny Parker Show on the Score. Whatever he likes. Okay, so this week, or last week, excuse me, before Cowboys-Vikings, Mike McCarthy reportedly got a bunch of watermelons on a table, and he had pictures of players on the Vikings in front of him, and he took a sledgehammer out at a hotel ballroom, and he smashed the watermelons and said, "This is what we got to do to this guy. This is what we got to do to this guy." And he went nuts, and then they, like, had a big hotel bill because he was like, "Oh, I forgot how much water was in watermelons," and everybody got a good old laugh out of it, and then the Cowboys went on and upset the Minnesota Vikings. I'm curious, Tom, what was the craziest motivational tactic that Ditka ever pulled before a game?
Oh, man, he didn't have to do any gimmicky things. It was all about the inspiration of the speech and the message that he was leaving behind, because he would go from extreme emotions to the angriest guy in the room that would be willing to fight anybody at any time, you know, to turning it into tears before the end of the speech. And I remember one before the Minnesota Vikings game. It was, you know, that was the tone of it. He was, you know, started out as angry as anybody I've ever seen, and, you know, throughout the transition of the speech was in tears by the end. So, but the Gallagher stuff, he never had to, you know, he never had to impose on us to deliver the seriousness of any message he ever wanted to deliver, because back then you could dangle everybody's jobs in front of them, and that was as important enough to us.
I think we became a team today. We became a team.
How did they dangle your jobs in front of you?
Oh, if you don't play good enough, you're gone. If you don't play good enough, we're going to cut you. When you look
that was
at,
said?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't all pro this, all pro that. Don't give me that, blah, blah, beep, and then you'll be gone. I don't care who you are. And, you know, when you get threatened in front of your peers, you know, it carries a lot of weight. There's, you know, a lot of commitment, a lot of commitment challenge in those team meetings.
All right, so when you're talking about Ditka and the Vikings, I wonder, was it one of those games? Was it either the 85 game where McMahon's in his ear the whole time saying, put me in, even though he hadn't practiced all week, and then he finally gets put in, throws, what, three touchdowns in his first five passes or something? Or was it the Harbaugh game where Harbaugh audibled? Was it 92 where Harbaugh audibled and Ditka went out and reamed him out right there on the sidelines in front of everybody?
Yeah, I do think it was that 92 game. I could tell you because there used to be a service before the game, and it was called Vespers, and it was more of a not a religious service, just kind of a motivating, positive type of atmosphere for guys that didn't go to the Catholic Mass. They went to the Vesper service. And Jay Hilgenberg's uncle Wally, who played 16 years in the NFL and played a long time for the Minnesota Vikings, was a real devout Christian, just a super, super guy. And he came and delivered that message that day to the team. And something in that message resonated with Ditka that made him more emotional. So I think as he transitioned through the speech and the threats to everybody, that he did go from mean guy to the Vespers crying guy by the end.
Tom, can you give us some football-style scouting reports on Thanksgiving foods? Are you willing to do that right now?
Yeah, what do you need?
Okay, so like, give me the scouting report on stuffing.
Well, you know what? Legendarily, my mom always had great stuffing, but that, I didn't eat it. You know, it's just something that didn't appeal to me. And I'm sorry to say that, because everybody that's come into our house over the years, whether it's teammates from college or the Bears or the countless times my mom made it, people bragged about it. But sorry to lead you off on such a negative. I'm not a stuffing guy.
You see, with stuffing, I would think it's got a good strong base. Does stuffing, you know, and stuffing might be an offensive lineman. You'd probably be insulted by that, though. Not athletic.
Well,
enough,
so my base, you know, for if stuffing is a base for people, my base is really a good supply of mashed potatoes with the corn mixed inside of it with some gravy on top of that.
Uh-huh.
So that's like the trifecta that kind of holds everything together. And then you're able to get the good turkey and, you know, kind of mix everything together.
Yeah, so who's the star of the show? Like, what's the blue chip prospect for Tom Thayer at Thanksgiving?
Well, lately, because I've come into I never knew the importance of brining before cooking turkeys and chickens. And so, actually, right now, I made some brine last night, and I've been brining a turkey. I'm going to brine it for 24 hours, and then I'm going to take it out, let it warm up, and then deep fry it. That's going to be the star of the show. And like I said, and I really enjoy cooking, but I never knew the importance of brining to cooking.
Tom, let me ask you, if there's like a collection of small breads on one side of the table, you're on the other one, do you just look up and go, roll, roll? Just scream roll until somebody tosses you one?
Yes.
Good.
But, you know, usually we do a good job, because when I was a little kid, I used to like the hot rolls my mom made so much that as soon as she took them out of the oven, I would split every one of them and butter them. So, you know, you're going to get a roll, but, you know, there's a good chance that it's going to leave a trail of butter over the top of the table.
See, that's the thing. And it's the same thing with stuffing. Like, we as a people, as a species, we've progressed pretty far. But give me some bread and put, like, some butter, maybe a couple of spices in there, a little salt. And that's all anybody really wants. That's it. It's enough.
Love the rolls. That's a really important part. That's a really important part of the Thanksgiving lineup.
Well, Tom Thayer, well, then now we need your big board of pies, please.
Wow. God, I ate so much food, I was not a huge dessert eater. But I'm an apple pie guy for sure, 100%. You know, that is my go-to, you know, best pie I like of all, for sure. Mm.
That's okay. The number. That's all he's got on the board. He's just got one. And if he can't get that
pie.
Yeah,
I do. I'm not a cherry pie guy. I'm not a pecan pie guy. I'm a good old fashioned apple pie, and I like crust on the top.
Oh yeah, sure. You got to do the crust on the top. You got to complete the picture in that way. Why is your jersey behind you, which is visible on the Twitch stream, on a plastic hanger? That jersey deserves a wooden hanger. Or if not, maybe one of those with like the padded shoulders. That jersey deserves more love, Tom.
Right. Well, I got my high school one right there, too, number 72, Joliet Catholic.
Hot.
And that's just a Bears jersey that my nephew had hanging around here. He was the one that hung it up there.
Tom, Matt Nagy says that Nick Foles is day-to-day. Mitch Trubisky took all of the reps in practice today. When do you think Nick Foles would need to get on the practice field in order to play Sunday night, if at all?
By tomorrow. I mean, you know, today, when you first of all, Wednesday installation is a majority of the running game. So you can go there even if you have a quarterback, you're given a veteran day off. Let him take off Wednesday just like Phillip Rivers is, because it's a majority handoff or a little play action. Then tomorrow is when they install all the passing game. So that Thursday would be my day that I would want the quarterback on the field the most, because when this is a team that still is in the development of timing stages, any pass over 10 yards, I would want my starting quarterback in there to throw that rep.
Yeah, so there it is. There's the breaking news, and it's not full-on decisions, but Mitch Trubisky unlimited in practice today. Nick Foles did not practice because he's still day-to-day. It's going to be hard for Nick Foles to make up that ground and end up being the quarterback on Sunday night, I would think. Wouldn't you, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be difficult. You know, you get carted off the field, and if you have any movement limitations against the Green Bay defense, you're going to be a sitting duck, because this is a really good, aggressive, upfront defense that they can put a lot of pressure on a statuesque type of quarterback. So, it would be tough for Nick to go in there. The ball would have to be out of his hands instantaneously to be able to beat what the rush is capable of up there.
Tom, I love Cordarrelle Patterson as an athlete, as a player. He can do so many things. But when I see Artavis Pierce just with two small runs, two little six-yard runs, what am I seeing that looks to me, that makes me go, oh, yeah, that's a running back? Like just somebody who's played the position for a long, long time. Those instincts are there. Maybe it's a little more aggression as soon as the ball is handed to them. Maybe it's a quicker bit of decisiveness about attacking or getting ready to make a cut. It just, and this is not to rip Cordarrelle, because he's a wonderful athlete, wonderful player, but a running back who's done it his whole life brings different instincts to it. Isn't that
true? I agree with you 100%. I've always liked Artavis. From seeing him out there at the practices at training camp, I think when you do have a running back, you see in him the innate ability to have a predictability of how the hole's going to open in front of you. And when you're talking about a running back instincts to have that type of vision, we're only talking about him being able to gain that 4 or 5 yards per try. But he has a good understanding of how a blocker is going to deflect from the first level up to the second level, and then how that hole is going to open up. But I think Artavis, he has that learned innate type of, excuse me, I'm sorry, that innate ability, that crossover vision, that he sees things up front very well.
Last thing, most important question of the day, the scouting report of cranberry sauce from Tom Fair.
You know, one of my dad's favorite, for me, I want no part of it. It's something that was ugly coming out of the can, and even if it's homemade, it doesn't appeal to me.
It's best out of the can. I think cranberry, it has to have that can-shaped mold as it sits there in full on the plate from top to bottom.
Yeah, no thanks. I never had a void that needed to be filled by that cranberry yuck.
Tom, thank you. Have a good broadcast. All right. Not Bears legend, just a guy who wore the jersey, Tom Thayer. Thank you, Tom.
Boy. Cranberry sauce is a component for me on the perfect bite, Danny. I think my whole life, as I mentioned, defined by the flavor profiles on Thanksgiving. And that perfect bite is the one to chase that has the turkey, the stuffing, the cranberry sauce, and the gravy. Like, that has to be all there on the fork, represented in quality proportions.
That's what I love about the Thanksgiving meal, is that it all kind of blends together. Like Tom was saying, the mashed potatoes, the corn, the gravy. Throw a protein in there. Throw a little stuffing in there. You can throw some cranberry. Throw some rice. Throw a veggie. Throw a sweet potato. Like, you can have two different potatoes on your plate on Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. On my bite, you want to put a green bean on the end of my bite, that's the best way to have a green bean, frankly. I won't even notice it's going down with the green bean.
I agree. The only thing, like, my parents make, like, this orange jello with, like, some mandarin slices in it. It's just, like, it's not a Thanksgiving thing, but it's just a thing that's always there at our meals, holiday meals. I absolutely love it. Mm. That's the only thing that doesn't really mesh with the consistency of everything else. Because you don't want gravy getting into your jello. Like, that's just a little ridiculous. So you got to have a side plate for the jello. But everything else, man, just, it's like a stew. It's like a Thanksgiving Day chili of sorts. And you just scoop it into your mouth with a ladle. It's amazing.
Roll! Roll! Imagine that at Thayer's house, just screaming out, roll! and everybody just dives for it.
Were you here, and I apologize for this because there's just been so many different people. Were you on the show when Thayer diagrammed the difference in tone between when the Bears cause a fumble or as opposed to when they fumble the ball?
I was either here or listening, Danny. I can't tell the difference anymore.
That was great because he was talking about like the level of excitement. Like there's the fear when the Bears fumble the ball.
Yes.
It's like a tap, like, ball. And then when it's a caused fumble, ball. Like it's very excited.
Anticipation. Yeah. The excitement at the possibility.
Yeah.
We have some really interesting NFL scheduling news I could share if you'd like.
Yeah, let's do that, and then we can continue discussing, obviously, the Foles-Trubisky news. A different kind of sports star deserves to be discussed today. We got a lot to do with Matt Spiegelman, and we're exactly 1 hour away from Mark Grody coming up on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
We're the Pittsburgh Steelers. We know everyone's coming for us. If you didn't know who, I'm not trying to take any shots at anybody, but if you didn't know who America's team was, you should have seen the stands and all the terrible towels. Dallas may be America's team, but we'll be the world's team because we got fans everywhere that are the best in the world.
That's Ben Roethlisberger saying that the Steelers are America's team or the best, the world's team, whatever he said. You just heard it yourself. You said it was the world's team. They were supposed to play Thursday night, Thanksgiving night. Ravens got some COVID problems, so the game has been moved to 12:15 Central Time on NBC.
Yeah, man.
So there will be a nationally televised noon window game. So just like in the 3 o'clock window, right? Like there, a lot of games will kick off at 3:05, but then the Nance Romo game, if it's on CBS, or the Buck Aikman game, if it's on Fox, that 90% of the country gets, kicks off at 3:25 so that it finishes alone in a solo window. They're going to do that in the noon window for Ravens and Steelers on NBC on Sunday.
This is 2 out of 3 weeks that have presented a weird NFL Sunday schedule quirk. And the first one was awesome when we had 6 games in the afternoon slot, because sometimes there's like only 2 games. Even this week, there's 3 in that afternoon
slot. Oh, when they moved
slot.
For the Masters.
Yes, when they moved for the Masters. That was a tremendous NFL Sunday with 6, and several of them were really good in the afternoon. This is inserting a terrific matchup into the middle of an already action-packed NFL Sunday. It's pretty amazing. I mean, amongst those early games, there's only, I guess the Cardinals and the Patriots is theoretically a good game. It's 2 interesting quarterbacks, that's for sure. But, boy, those Pats now, what are they, 4-7 are the Pats, I believe, or even 3-7 or 3-6. But and the Panthers and the Vikings is not a bad game. Titans-Colts is really good. Titans-Colts is a real good game. And now Baltimore and Pittsburgh, as you said, at 1:15 or 12:15 our time. But that also means we get the normal Sunday night crew. We get Collinsworth and Michaels in the middle of our Sunday afternoon. Because Bears and Packers, at least it was going to be, the Notre Dame crew. Tony Dungy and Mike Tirico were going to be doing Bears and Packers after Michaels and Collinsworth did the Thanksgiving game. So if they keep it that way, I don't know, maybe they'll swap them, but I'm sure the game prep has already been underway, so probably not. So we'll probably get Michaels and Collinsworth at 12:15 on NBC in the middle of Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I wonder, because I don't even know who the third person would be for NBC, because they only have 1 game a week, right? So now that they have Michaels, they have Tirico. Like because Al Michaels has taken a couple weeks off this year, which is why he was off for the Sunday game for Bears Packers for Tirico coming in. So I assume that Al Michaels is now going to work on Sunday, like you said, because Tirico couldn't do both. He would want to, but like there's just not enough time in between to fly from Pittsburgh to the Bears Packers game.
Was it Dan Hicks? Does memory serve that Dan Hicks did some football for them as
maybe
the third guy? Like when they've had a third game, a playoff game that they needed to do? I forget.
Yeah, I don't know if he ever did the NFL games for them. He definitely did some Notre Dame games for them. But regardless, that definitely will help the noon slate on Sunday. There's also an interesting thing going on with the Steelers, who are undefeated and the favorites for the Super Bowl and to be the one seed in the best conference in the AFC. And that is, this is the second time this year that they've been disrupted by another team having a COVID situation.
Yes.
Steelers-Titans got moved because of the Titans game, and so they lost their bye, I believe, before the first Ravens game. And then this time they have to play, the Ravens game gets moved after Thanksgiving because of the Ravens having an outbreak. And a lot of Steelers players are coming out on social media, and they're upset by it, probably most famously, or most notably, Juju Smith-Schuster. He tweeted, first the NFL takes our bye week because another team can't get their COVID situation together. Now they take away our Thanksgiving primetime game for the same reason. Shaking my head. And Eric Ebron came out and was very upset about it. And here's the thing. A lot of people are going to be dunking all over the Steelers and be like, hey, there's a pandemic. You get paid millions of dollars to play a game. It's killing people. What the hell are you doing? Have some perspective. And of course, they're right. But the Steelers players are also right. Like, in the context of what they are trying to accomplish, they are trying to win a Super Bowl, and they haven't had COVID outbreaks. They've had, like, a little test here or there, but, like, you know, Roethlisberger was put on the watch list because of a close contact with an offensive lineman, and there have been a few little things, but nothing that's disrupted the schedule. And they've had their schedule severely impacted by it. Obviously, in the grand scheme of things, it's insignificant. But in their world, trying to win a Super Bowl, it matters. So it doesn't surprise me at all that those guys are complaining about it. They care a lot, man.
They care a lot. And different teams have different levels of attention to detail when it comes to the protocol. The Raiders already have exposed themselves a couple of times as being, you know, lackluster with the protocol, right? Hanging out at the party with one, and then they did have some positive tests that derailed a game later on. So imagine, if you will, that the Steelers are treating it, say, like the Cubs did. The Cubs did a terrific job of making sure that they all followed the rules, and some other teams, you know, it might not. And you hear that stuff. You hear that stuff in NFL circles. So if that's what drives them crazy, okay, I get it.
Yeah, again, I think that both things can exist in the same plane of rational thought. I don't think you have to be outraged at the Steelers for being frustrated that they were going to play national TV Thursday night football. They were preparing for it. And, oh, yeah, by the way, I mean, John Clayton is saying that Mark Ingram and Gus Edwards now could be, or J.K. Dobbins, rather, could be ready for Sunday's game.
Wow.
And they would not have been for Thursday's game. And the outbreak for the Ravens, a lot of them are offensive linemen who now might be able to play in Sunday's game that weren't able to play on Thursday. So the Ravens, because what was it, a couple weeks ago, where the Niners had to play a game and had a bunch of guys miss, and they were playing practice squad guys left and right. So there are some inconsistencies here where the Steelers are like, hold on, they could have fielded a roster and played. We're not canceling this game, but they did it. And so I think that both things can be true. I don't think that because the Steelers players are upset that the game got canceled, that means that they don't care about the larger societal issues with the pandemic. They are talking about that through the prism of sports and trying to win a Super Bowl and trying to beat their division rival. I think that's a totally reasonable thing for them to feel.
Yeah, I agree. Boy, this is interesting. The Trubisky-Foles stuff is really interesting because what it has done is given Matt Nagy a few extra days to say what he would do if given his druthers, like an extra week. He really has a whole extra week. He gets to watch Mitch Trubisky play, as we do, a game, I'm guessing, before he has to say which one he would start, because Nick Foles' health, as you mentioned yesterday, yeah, man, is a lovely, lovely cover. Apparently, in the 15-minute press conference, every single question was about Mitch Trubisky and his readiness to play quarterback this Sunday. Every single question.
So. Well, Grody's going to have some sound for it for us, so you're going to join us in about 40 minutes. I just think that makes sense. So that, you know, blind nut finds a squirrel type of thing. I don't know, it's blind squirrel finds a nut, but it's just a little malaprop that I've enjoyed from the past. But just the idea of, like, Nagy doesn't have to make a mention of it. It's cover. He's got two terrible options. And so now he gets, like, a free roll on Mitch Trubisky to see if he's better. I think that that's a very clean way for the Bears to handle this. A legend passed away today in the sports world, and it's a unique type of legend that I know matters a lot to Spiegel, and I can speak to as well. So we want to explore what that means in the sports culture next on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Here's Maradona, and England have contained him pretty well so far. This looking dangerous. That's a poor clearance. Maradona with Shilton. Looked like handball, that. Maradona celebrating, and the goal's going to be given. Shilton furious, and so is Peter Reid. And the England manager, Bobby Robson, can't believe it.
We haven't been able to control the play in midfield the way that Maradona has been able to do. And he's hurting England again here. It's a brilliant run. It's one of the World Cup great goals. And there's no doubt about that one.
Two goals from Diego Maradona in the 1986 World Cup. The Hand to God goal. And welcome back, by the way. It's the Danny Parkin Show with Matt Spiegel in. He was a little before my time. I obviously watched the documentary. It was amazing. I've read about him today since his passing, Spiegs, but I know that he meant a lot to you and your sports fandom.
Yeah, you know, I thought about it today. I was trying to think about how to write it and wrote a couple of tweets and then just didn't bother. But, like, I was going to say he was my Pelé, or, like, for you, maybe he was my Messi or my Beckham or whatever. Like, there's something kind of definitive and ineffable, like difficult to describe, the soccer star. They hold a certain sway, and it's a weird sway because you don't really watch a lot. It's not like I'm no Z-Pack. I'm no, like, soccer devotee doing a podcast on
sure.
Soccer. But every 4 years, it would come into my life from a spectator perspective, and I would see these legends that you've heard about, you'd get a chance to watch them. And if they delivered on that stage, coming to it with the legendary status, and like Maradona did in 86, then it packed a big punch in terms of profile. But also just, he was so creative. And, like, these guys, when they're at their best, soccer creators, scorers, and guys who can just do amazing things with the ball and deke some incredibly talented soccer players and athletes, there's a level to it that's similar to, like, a great running back like Barry Sanders, or watching a great hockey scorer like Dennis Savard or Patrick Kane, somebody who's got a lot of artistry that they bring to the table, and they're expressive and creative as well as effective. So Maradona packed a lot of that punch for me. And when they built him up to be, man, you better watch this guy in 86. You better watch this guy. You better watch this guy. And then he was freaking awesome on that stage. It stuck with me forever. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's one of the five best documentaries I've ever sports documentaries I've ever seen. It was just such an incredible, volatile life and talent. And I'm similar to you. I'm not a big soccer fan or aficionado at all, but I enjoy sport at the highest level. And I always think about this Letterman quote where he said that traveling is the best investment you can make in yourself. And, you know, I grew up privileged. People know that, like, not wealthy, no trust fund, anything like that. But my parents provided us a great life, and we traveled a lot. And it was I think it shrinks the world, and it helps you understand that people are not that different from you, even if it feels like, man, these people are thousands of miles away. But you realize, like, it's not that different. And so, like, just two quick anecdotes on that. In high school, I qualified to go onto this program with my Spanish class, where we lived with a family in Spain for 3 weeks in the summer. It was a high school program. There were, like, 25 of us who went. We lived with 25 different families, all in Cordoba. And we would go to school with these kids during the week, live with their families, and then on the weekends take trips to Sevilla and Granada and Madrid and see the country. And it was cool to, like, see what it was like to be a high schooler in Spain or whatever. But when we were there, Real Madrid got David Beckham.
Hmm.
And the country everything stopped. You know what I mean? Like, people were partying and dancing in fountains. You know, there was no school. Kids, just 14-year-olds drinking, which is totally normal in Spain. But, like, the parents were celebrating. It was this, like, unbelievable cultural phenomenon that Real Madrid had gotten David Beckham. And you just realize, like, we don't have anything like that here. We're too big of a country.
Right.
We're too splintered in our sports like that.
That's the thing. Everybody in those countries has grown up with their fathers playing, their grandfathers playing, their great-grandfathers playing, and they play. And it's the easiest thing, just get a ball. And if you don't have a ball, let's put a bunch of tape together. Let's do whatever you have to do to create a ball. So everybody plays, and everybody dreams of being great. So when your country or your city gets someone like that, or like you're mentioning in the Maradona doc, when you're Argentina and you watch your native son be that good and that potent, that powerful, it packs a punch that's really unlike anything this country can experience.
Yeah, and then when Steph and I went to Barcelona about whatever that was, a year and a half, 2 years ago now, it was, even though I knew it, it was still overwhelming. LeBron was not as omnipresent in Cleveland, Ohio, when he was a member of the Cavs winning that championship with the big-ass billboard downtown across from the stadium. LeBron was not as omnipresent in Cleveland as Lionel Messi is in Barcelona. He is everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Cologne, watches, jerseys in every store, food, menus, like billboards. It's unbelievable. Like, they are the heroes of countries, sports, soccer stars. And it's just it's a very cool thing to see. And so I've never had, like, a favorite soccer player, because I've never, like, loved it individually on that level. But I respect the hell out of it, because how can you not, when billions of people around the world have that type of, like, well, we would say civic pride, but, like, national pride for, yeah, like, tied up in their soccer teams and their athletes. It is really, really a cool thing to experience.
It sounds like it. The documentary is simply called Diego Maradona.
Yep.
It was on HBO, made by a guy who's made a couple of great documentaries. He made one on the race car driver Ayrton Senna called Senna. I don't know if anybody ever saw that, but it's incredible.
Oh, really? Many years ago.
Same director. And he made the one about Amy Winehouse, called Amy, which I think won an Oscar. I think he won an Oscar for that. So it's a brilliant documentary on Maradona. And where it starts, Danny, is that moment, just like you're talking about Beckham going to Real Madrid. It's Maradona at 23 going to play in Italy and going to play for a city he's never known in a culture he does not know when he's 23 years old. And it changes his life for the better and for the worse, and makes him a global star in a different way, and exposes him to mobsters and drugs in a different way than he ever had been. And it leads to an incredible middle portion of his life, that's for sure.
You'll hear Matt Nagy on why he thinks Mitch Trubisky is going to be a better player than he was before the benching coming up in 30 minutes. But Spiegs and I know each other very well, and I think he's going to put me on his sports couch, right? You've diagnosed something in me. You said I've broken in some way.
Yeah, something in you broke, and we got to figure out where it happened and when it happened, and maybe we can pause the tape and see where your bear's heart broke, like Ralph Wiggum's at one point.
Okay, perfect. That sounds like it's going to be painful for me next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows.
Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.